This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We have on the phone our next guest, David. We've got Jason Coleman.
Who? I think I've heard of him.
I think the name rings a bell, actually. Jason's from the Ministry of Dance.
You were going to say sound then, weren't you?
it's all the chill out mixes. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Hi, guys. Great to be with you. How are you today?
Very well. Now, you know, like, there must be some people out there that don't know who Jason Coleman is. Give us your backstory, Jason.
Wow, the backstory. Look, okay, well, you know, to really go all the way back, I'm born and bred in Rosebud in Victoria, and I had a passion for dance. I went through the, you know, College of the Arts, the Australian Ballet School, and then I have worked as a dancer and entertainer and performer. 27 countries around the world, really. And then most people would probably know me from being a judge on the Pop Stars or choreographing the Olympic Games or maybe So You Think You Can Dance for Channel 10. And then currently, yeah, I still work producing some of the biggest events on earth, and I own the Ministry of Dance in North Melbourne, which is one of the best things I ever did.
Brilliant.
Studio there that's a hub for commercial dance. I'm really proud of it. So that's me in a nutshell.
No, but hold on. Let's go back, because, you know, like, a Rosebud boy getting involved in dance, you know, like, were you, you know, like, how tough was it? You know, like, you know, were you picked on at school because you were learning dance, or and you were so committed that you knew what career you wanted to follow?
You know, it's hilarious, guys. I get this a lot, and the people have this predisposition to all of us dancers being Billy Elliot. But the truth is I had a great family, supportive family. I'm a proud homosexual, but I wasn't a particularly effeminate kid or anything. I had cool friends. I hung out in the cool groups at school. There was no really a big deal for me. It
Excellent.
Made me unique. It didn't ever, in my eyes, make me lesser than others.
Okay.
So it didn't really cost too much.
So how did you go, though? You know, like, you said that you studied dance and all that. You know, like, from Rosebud, it would have been hard back then, you know, like, just getting into the city to do dance classes and stuff.
You know what? There was a really great teacher in Rosebud, and she actually made some other really exceptional performers. And you know, as these things often go, the person who inspires is, it doesn't matter where you are, or you don't need to be a big city to have that.
Yep.
So we had Sandra Allen at the Rosebud Ballet School, and she didn't teach that. We had no mirrors back in those days, guys. I told this to the young dancers at my studio. We were taught to feel the shape, not to make the shape. and so feeling is a big part of that dancing. And I say to all the young people around me now, what are you feeling while you're doing that step? And they look at me all wide-eyed, and I'm like, if you don't have an association to it, it means nothing. You watch a great dancer, but as an audience member, you feel a great performer. And that's the difference of excellence and averageness, is what I believe. So I feel very blessed to have come from a small town and to have Sandra. And then when I got to the College of the Arts and the Aussie Ballet School and those big places, I had to leave my home and go be in boarding school in the city to be a part of all of that.
Yeah.
I could look at it and say it was somewhat hard, but I guess I'm a glass half full sort of a person, and yep, I just loved it all. I felt lucky.
So you were part of the Australian Ballet School, which they actually have a house where they accommodate out-of-towners, don't they?
That's right, and as they did too at the College of the Arts. I was 12 years old and,
wow,
you know, staying in a place called Red Court in Armidale and catching a tram myself every day to school. And at the College of the Arts, our secondary school was on Sturt Street and the campus was on St Kilda Road.
Yep.
So we were, you know, all day we were allowed to get on trams and go wherever we wanted. It was a brilliant young life for a kid. I felt very lucky to be part of all of it.
Yeah. And, you know, like, you must pinch yourself sometimes, you know, like, the fact that you've toured the world, you're with Australian Ballet, you know, like, but you've worked really hard to achieve that, haven't you?
Like, really hard. Nobody works harder than a dancer, but to be honest with you, if you love it as I do, then you've never really worked a hard day in your life.
Yep.
I have a passion hobby, and I managed to work at the pinnacle of that, you know, and I'm still going along. And that, you know, 1,000 people might want to be dancers, and 100 of them will get into a good enough course. At the end of that course, 10 of them will get into an agent. And, you know, and then 10 years later, one of those kids might still be in the business. That's the sort of the ratio.
Yep, absolutely.
I watched myself, guys, on Celebrity Apprentice a few years ago, and I wanted to shoot myself in the head. Well, not literally. but I was somewhat slightly embarrassed because I looked like I was bragging as I was talking about my career and stuff.
Yeah.
And I went, but it's not where I'm coming from. I'm actually coming from a place of, I'm sort of quite proud.
Yeah.
Because the likelihood to be 50 yep. in my business and still be going is unlikely. It's myself and Kelly Abbey, Jace Gilkerson, Dean Perry, a few of us who are still going along. But all the other people we were dancing with in our 20s, a lot of those people have dropped off.
Yep, of course.
And, you know, and fallen into other legitimate businesses in their lives. So I feel very, very blessed. To have been given the facility and the family and the position and the teachers and all of those things to allow me to get there. And may I say, guys, the biggest mentor in my adult life has been David Atkins, the show producer.
Oh, wow.
Now, he's an incredible human being, the smartest person I've ever met in my life, the most driven person I've ever come across. Like me, was a chorus boy who just, you know, kept mortgaging his house to employ more dancers and make, you know, lots of people sit around and talk about stuff. And I watched David, and, you know, David would sell his boat to pay us for this job and make a little bit more money to pay us for the next job. And he led industry and created a hub for us. And it was my intention. I based myself out of Sydney for 25 years. I came back to Melbourne to do this for the Melbourne dance scene, to create a hub and an energy with love and pride and hashtag pay the dancers.
Yeah. Now, tell us, you know, like you said that one of the best things you've done is the Ministry of Dance. Big decision to, you know, like to start a dance school on that level.
Yeah, guys. Well, hey, thanks for noticing, you know. every other, and even the other big schools in the country, Brent Street, The Village, some of these other biggest schools in the country, they all started as little schools and grew into big schools. I built, it's an acre, I built the largest commercial private dance space in the world.
Wow.
And had to grow a business into that. So, you know, and I describe it too, you know, 10 years into it, that it was like I built this massive tree. And then in the first few years when a storm would come along, there was no roots in the ground. And me and my fabulously dedicated staff would stand there and hold up this tree through the storms. But, you know, now 10 years, pre-COVID at least, may I say, the roots have gone in, you know, and the business becomes strong and it becomes an entity that's, you know, even bigger than me as an individual. And I'm really extremely, extraordinarily proud of it.
Yeah. Now, you know, like you mentioned about the coronavirus. Has it really knocked your school about? Of course it would have, you know, because you wouldn't have been able to be running classes.
Oh, guys, you know, the Ministry of Dance isn't just a school. There's a school in there. There's a full-time course, a university-grade full-time course with full diplomas. There's a production house, an agency, a record company, an outreach program. There's 9 different businesses in there.
Yep.
I'm not going to say this in a whinging way. I'm going to tell you this in a way that I'm quite proud and in an actual amount. So I've lost over $1 million in the last 7 weeks, guys. That's an actual amount of money. However, I'm proud to have done it. It's a sacrifice that my generation needed to take. The leaders of business here, we had to do this. It was the right thing to do. And I stand by the way than the which way it's been led by us in Victoria. I know a lot of people don't. But coming out now and being cautious about this action, I believe, is the right thing to do. Because if we don't and we stuff it up, then the sacrifice that people like me have taken is not worth it.
Yep.
You know, we've taken a big financial hit, those of us that are leading business and all the rest of it. And I believe we need to, based on the sacrifice we've made, be really careful about how we open again. May I say that I have generated... we've gone fully remote with all of our classes. Our full schedule is running remotely. But due to the nature of the business, so many of the families can't afford classes. Keeping the kids motivated in a Zoom way is very different than having them appear in the studio. But I've hired all of my staff. I didn't put anybody off. I kept all of my full-time staff. And I've done everything that I could in regards to continuing to create industry through COVID.
Yeah, good.
We didn't focus on what you can't do. I said to the guys, go home, grab your computers, go home. Let's focus on what we can do, not on what we can't. So
now the big burning question is, what's the name of your dog? Because we can hear him in the background. He or her, we can hear it in the background.
Well, I'm going to sound terribly gay, but my dog's called Bowie Vuitton.
That is brilliant. That's brilliant. So, listen, tell me, you're doing a lot of stuff online, but this particular piece that you're working on, well, not working on, that you've produced, is for kids. What is it?
Oh, the Humanimals. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have. I've had a quick look at it. It looks amazing.
Hilarious. Do you know what? It was that. It was my necessity to need to do something while we went home. In the first week, I was having a look at what John Foreman and some of my friends were producing in regards to keeping it going. And I looked at the market and went, no one's doing anything for the bubbers.
Yep.
And those parents are the people who are going to need the most stimulus. So I said to my guys, and I have a great little show that I really very much believe in called The Humanimals. Now, what we produced isn't actually The Humanimals. The Humanimals is all sing and dance and humor. But the day that we decided that we were closing the studios and sending everybody home, I said, take some costumes, take a microphone, take your computers, and let's work out what we can do. We're not monetizing it at all. It was our little offer with love to all the mums and dads at home. And it's not entirely selfless in that I hope that if people did watch it and kids like singing and dancing, that maybe when the world opens up again, that they might check into their local singing and dancing school and realize that the joys and principles can get from it. And guys, I don't want to get all preachy on you because I know it's Joy FM and you guys are all about fun. But I will say quickly, I really believe in the principles of what I do professionally for a child, whether they want to grow up to be a professional dancer or not. They're using their minds and bodies at the same time. Teamwork, friendship, confidence, all these important skills that we get really help kids in teenagers and stuff like this. So, you know, people are out there, get your kids involved in clubs and sports and arts and things where they're using their minds and their bodies at the same time. That's where it really came from.
Yeah. Oh, good on you. Good on you. So you're running a lot of your classes online, as you said. Yep.
We are, yeah, and we're also servicing the remote dance community. I've done a lot of work overseas with the Olympics I've done and stuff like that, and in the Middle East, in Doha, in a lot of Asian countries, and a lot of workers are involved in those places, particularly in Doha in the Middle East, a lot of Filipinos, a lot of those people. So we put out there and also gave it to them for free during this time to make sure that that the song and dance is working remotely, that people stuck at home that have joy for it can get up and get their bodies going. It's not everything at this point needs to be about dollar. And when we open up again, we can focus back on the business. But in the meantime, let's sort of keep going and keep everybody stimulated. That's how we've gone about it.
Good on you. And what, you know, like, what's the website? How do we have a look? And, you know, like, because we have a lot of families that listen to the show and getting their kids involved. What's your website?
MinistryofDance.com.au. Jason Coleman's MinistryofDance.com.au. If you go there, have a poke around, you can see everything, all of our studios, our box offices, our full-time courses and outreach programs. And then have a look at the numbers there. Pick up the phone and chat to one of my staff and tell them what your kids want to do. We'll check them in on a Zoom way and make sure that they're comfortable. It's a really great thing. To be honest with you, all of the parents of my school, I've received so many letters because the education system in Victoria, at least anyway, the kids have been homeschooling, but they log on and they talk to their teacher and then the teacher logs off and gives them homework. But for us, you log in for your hip-hop class and that teacher stimulates you for that hour and then you log in for your contemporary class and that teacher takes you through that. So the parents have been very thankful that we've been actually stimulating their kids for 3 hours.
Yep.
And they're all coming out of the other side of it tired and using their bodies. So,
brilliant.
Yes, please check out the website. And also when we open again, come and see the Ministry of Dance. It's a really amazing place. People have in their minds what dance studios are and how they look like. And the Ministry of Dance is not a studio, it's an environment. And I designed it on a palace that I saw in Malaysia. And it's a really amazing place. Come down and say hi.
Okay, sounds like a good idea. Jonathan Coleman, Jason Coleman.
I get that a lot. I'm slightly younger, I don't mind being called Jonathan because he's a great guy.
Yeah, Jason, absolute treat talking to you today. And once all this craziness is over, we've got to get you into the studio on Sunday Arts one day.
Always a fan and a supporter of Joy FM. Good on you guys, and thanks for having me today.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Jason. You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Man.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.